Kenny Blumenfeld is next in line with, I think, probably a lot to talk about. You generally do. Thanks so much for being with us, Kenny, this morning.
Oh, glad to be here, as always. If you'd like, I could tell a pick-me-up story.
Oh, I would love it.
Okay. Everyone knows the great and the famous Dr. Mark Seely. He is a friend and mentor of mine. And if you don't know him, he's the most beloved climatologist in the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
And in 2000, when I was a budding climatologist, I got involved in a project that he was working on with the Department of Transportation to help control drifting snow on the highways. And what the whole idea was, and you've probably seen this, especially out in open country, is that you can, you know, set up fences. And in this case, you can leave up, you know, rows of small shrubs and trees or even rows of crops. And the snow will, as the snow is blowing across the field, it will hit that barrier and it'll settle on the other side of it and it'll keep the snow off of the road. So I was working as a student employee for his graduate student, his PhD student, Martha Schulsky at the time. And it was quite a winter. It was a real winter. You know, it was, most of Minnesota probably had 25 to 50% more snow than was normal. So it was a very snowy winter. And out in the rural areas where we were setting up these snow fences for testing, there were the huge, I mean, enormous snow drifts. So I would go out there with the other student, the PhD student. I would go out there and we would make snow depth measurements in these drifts that were forming to see how much snow we were capturing. And then we would scoop the snow out and measure its density and get all this kind of interesting, nerdy stuff. And we got pretty good at it. And as the winter wore on, we had a couple of interesting experiences where, you know, the snow would sort of consume you a little bit and you'd fall in up to your waist. And later in the winter, Martha was unavailable. And I said, well, I'll make a run out to the station out in southwest Minnesota to do this reading, to do the measurements myself. And while I was out there, I was on the tallest snowdrift. It was near Mountain Lake. It was about 16 feet deep at the time. I could feel the snowdrift kind of opening up and I was falling into it.
Oh.
And,
Oh my God.
And I fell into the snowdrift and I was basically up to my neck eventually. Oh. And of course, the first thing you do is you sort of panic, right? Like you, oh my goodness. You think, I'm going to get out of this, no problem. And then you realize I'm not getting out of it. It's consuming me like quicksand. And there was about, you know, a minute where I guess I kind of had panicked. And then another minute after that, I realized I'm actually making the snow beneath my feet denser. And I'm able to, I think I can use it as a platform. So all I need to do is kind of roll, like figure out how I can sort of roll my body onto this snow that is up to my neck and sort of get myself out of it. And while I was sitting there contemplating that, these snow drifts, they're about 50 to 100 feet from the road. A snow plow drove by, like it was driving by, and it drove up very, very slowly. And it kind of came to a stop when it saw me. And I was just sitting there, my head sitting on the snowdrift. And I sure couldn't see the expression on my face. And I was just feeling kind of like, I've got this figured out. And then the snowplow sped away. So I guess to that driver, it was just, he'd just seen a head sitting on a snowdrift and it was probably the weirdest thing he'd ever seen in his life. And to me, it was quite an experience. Within about a minute, I rolled myself out, and then I got to tell everyone, wow, I really freaked someone out today. I think they thought that like my decapitated head was sitting on a snowdrift. I wanted to find the guy and let him know. I was okay. It was okay, really. So after that, we got snowshoes for that project.
Oh, wow. Well, we have had quite the number of stories this morning, Kenny, so let's move on. Let's move to the present, yeah. And we hear there's maybe some actual snow coming our way.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think winter's beginning right now. You have kind of two, not really intense, but you know, weak to medium-sized disturbances or shortwave troughs that are going to essentially they're going to be bugging northern Minnesota for most of the weekend. You'll start seeing some snow today. I don't know if it's started yet, but you'll start seeing snow today, probably, you know, in the afternoon. You know, it's not snowing yet, and certainly by evening. And then it's just going to go on and off, you know, not particularly heavy, but on and off right into and through tomorrow and into Sunday. Total accumulations in most of northern Minnesota and the Arrowhead area should be 2, 3, maybe even 5 inches. So a good blanket of snow.
Yeah.
I think some areas in the higher terrain are going to get maybe even more than 6 inches. So this is going to freshen up the landscape, put a blanket of snow down. And I honestly think that this will be around for a while. You know, I think in northern Minnesota, this will stick around for, you know, through January at least, and probably longer, because I think also the chances of topping that off are pretty good as we get into next week.
Okay. You have been saying that the cold in the Arctic and the moisture in the Gulf are 2,000 miles apart. Are they still 2,000 miles apart? And if so, how is this happening?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the cold in the Arctic and the moisture in the south were each individually 1,000 to 2,000 miles away from us. So they have been basically at times an entire hemisphere apart. And, you know, so sometimes, but frequently about as far apart as two things could be in the northern hemisphere, you know, 3,000 miles or so.
Yeah.
They are moving closer together. It's really neat to watch what's happening. So if you think of, okay, so the moisture has been stuck in, say, far southern U.S., and the cold air has been stuck up in northern Canada. And in between is this kind of water air that the air mass is really quite homogeneous. You know, of course, it's warmer as you go to the south and it's cooler as you go to the north. That's just the effect of sunlight. But in that region, the conditions, you know, between the moisture area and between the Arctic air mass, the conditions have been uniformly mild over the, you know, it's most of North America that's been experiencing this.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's happened is as El Nino has intensified, there are these little bursts of energy. They follow a really hypnotic pattern called Kelvin wave that forms in the ocean, and it actually drives these pulses of warmer and cooler, interchanging warmer and cooler water across the equator. And it's these Kelvin waves are so powerful that they propagate into the atmosphere. And when one of these warm Kelvin waves really maxes out, it sends a burst of energy into the atmosphere. And you can actually see it strengthening or invigorating this southern subtropical jet. It's imbuing it with a burst of energy and moisture, and that's causing the southern tropical jet, the thing that's carrying all this moisture, to kind of bulge out, which forces part of that moisture stream to surge a little bit farther northward into the U.S. Well, this has like a kind of an amazing feedback, because what's happening essentially is it's helping to squeeze that kind of regular mild air mass that has been sitting over the continent. And now you've got the same amount of air mass difference in terms of temperature and humidity, but now it's covering a slightly smaller space or a smaller volume. And that actually puts a squeeze on it, which then affects the behavior of the Arctic jet or the polar jet off to the north. And so they kind of move towards each other. And then as they move towards each other, it further squeezes the atmosphere, which then starts getting the two air masses closer to interacting with each other. So right now, they're about 1,500, maybe 2,000 miles apart, and you're already seeing signs of these weather systems being born as they get closer to each other. And they're actually going to like have their first kiss of the winter sometime next week. And as they get closer to each other, and when that happens, you're going to see real storm systems, you know, form across the central United States and become quite powerful when these two pieces come together. So that's a lot of the change that we're seeing. I'd say the first, you know, this sort of first kind of shot across the bow this weekend is nothing. It's just this little weather system that's getting spun up as these two disparate air masses move closer to each other. But as they get even closer by next week, we're going to have very strong weather systems moving through the central U.S. We just don't know how close they're going to be to us. Are we going to get affected by them? Is it just going to be colder and windier? Are we going to see some snow? But it's going to become a much more active pattern next week and probably into the following week as these two air masses finally converge.
Hmm. Well, that's fun to hear about. Thank you for that description. And it'll be good to hear again next week as this continues to evolve. And hopefully we won't all forget about this record December if we end up with a solid winter that started in January.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like folks to remember just how extraordinary this December was. It was probably the most extreme month that we have on record in Minnesota. And I know it's hard to imagine that a month that has temperatures in the 40s and 50s and just kind of steady rain at times is extreme. But when you compare it to other Decembers, we actually don't have any other months that are that extreme compared to their peers. So, so it was wild. We should remember it.
Great. Thanks so much, Kenny. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the snow.
Yeah. All right. You take care. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.